Hi everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Raw Rundown, episode 32. 32! The number 32 is good because David McCutcheon lived to 32 in spite of heart surgery. Kenny McIntosh lived to 32 in spite of wanting to be 25 graciously. And WrestleMania turned 32 and did not deliver. But 33 is the number of WrestleMania where David McCutcheon and I will meet in person. David, you're there. I can feel you on the other side of the line.
It's not so much that you can feel me, it's just that my heart rate is so elevated that with the surgeries, it's just pumping the blood through.
And you never, you know, like any good heart surgery survive. Here's what I like to akin you to, and I don't like to bring this up very often.
Sure.
But I also work at What Culture. And that's where I am right now. I'm in the offices of What Culture recording this episode, and I'm using their Wi-Fi to record this episode. I'm a rebel.
Feels dirty.
But yeah. one of the guys at What Culture, who is a very lovely man, and I'm saying that because I'm about to insult him. He is lovely. Is Jack the Jobber, right?
Yes,
very young man.
Of course, follows me on Twitter. Big following. We interact all the time. Great man.
He is
a smart man.
He's smart. Well, okay. He looks very young. He told me last week that he has now developed his third pubic hair, which I'm very, very excited for him.
Well, now, the 1-2-3 kid, that's more than he had whenever he got the 3 count on Scott Hall.
So. He did. And then he had a lack of eyebrows, just a shame. However, because you knew that's where I was going to go.
You cunt! You cheeky cunt!
So Jack was very recently introduced into WCPW storylines, and there was an idea that for Will Ospreay is a villain in the land of WCPW. He is an evil man who has done very nasty things, and one of the ideas was, wouldn't it be horrible if Will Ospreay, the evil, maniacal villain that he is, was to superkick Jack the Jobber? So we're in Leicester, and he superkicks him. And Jack, to his credit, sells it like a fucking champ. He goes down like a sack of shit. Great. Excellent. Now, that moment was Jack's heart surgery, ladies and gentlemen. Because Jack had two choices. Jack could either get through it like a stand-up individual and just let the action speak for himself, just like David could have survived and chosen to not let that define him. But David and Jack decided that that will be their definition, because all Jack does on social media is post GIFs of the superkick in hopes of validation that he took it. And all David does is talk about his heart surgery in hopes that people will feel sorry for him. So David and Jack are very similar in a lot of ways. And that is how I connect you two.
Kenny, that any time that you can say that I'm like Jack the Jobber, that's a huge compliment to me. So I thank you for that. And also, since my words no longer register any emotion or sympathy out of you, you cold-hearted, heartless bastard, I have now actively, as you said...
You've actually sent me, he has sent me on Facebook a picture with the stent and the corner. He sent me pictorial evidence of the heart surgery. I didn't think this could get any worse, but David McCutcheon has sold himself down the river here by being so blatant. You motherfucker.
Like, that was a picture of my right coronary artery, Kenny, 99.6% blocked.
Okay? I'm 99.6% offended at this to listen to. You're worse than Jack and his fucking super kid. Oh, he took us. Fuck off.
Here's the thing, Kenny. It looks really sad to see my artery that blocked, but I'll tell you what. I just sent you the after pictures. That way you can see how well I've progressed and how good I'm doing, Kenny. How healthy and vibrant and full of life your best friend David J. McCutcheon is.
Here's what it looks like, ladies and gentlemen. It looks initially, I'm going to post these, you post them, right? The initial picture looks like he has swollen testicles.
It's my heart! And my heart doesn't have balls. And I have a lot of testosterone rolling through my system, Kenny.
The fixed version looks like his balls have gone back into being semi-ball-like. That's what it looks like. Your heart surgery is balls.
No, I know that it's not balls, Kenny, because if it were, you'd be sucking them right now. Oh my goodness. You guys, how are you guys doing? We never talk about our listeners and how they're feeling.
We always talk about our fucking listeners.
We always have to listen to how offended Kenny is by things and how the Travelodge was mean to him. God, that's all he goes on about, ladies and gentlemen.
Do you know what? I'm a man of the people. So I'm gonna send a shout out to a few listeners that I'd like to call upon. I'd like to say hello to Mel, who seems to hate her job with every fiber of her being because she always messages us when she's in work and bored or annoyed. I'd like to send a shout out to Dre Warner, who sent a picture of him in a mask at Mardi Gras for I don't quite understand why yet. I'd like to send
a
shout out
to... time, though. That's the most important thing. Here's the thing about Dre Warner, folks. That guy is who I aspire to be physically, because that guy is a specimen.
I think you want a specimen, but the way you're talking, to be honest. I would like to give a shout out to Lucy Nevins, who listens to us quite a lot. She's a firm follower of the show. I'd like to give a shout out to Ben Moncada. I'd like to give a shout out to the Beck family, Billy and his wife, Cody. I think it's Cody.
Yes, they're
going to be with us in Orlando. I'd like to give a shout out to Di Owen. I'd like to give a shout out to all these different people who, old and new, who message us. And I am trying my very best to think of a way that every week we can interact a little bit more with all you guys. But that's enough.
You didn't even mention Martin McKee, one of my favorites.
Martin McKee, who loves our stuff. Martin McKee is always raving about our content.
He loves our stuff, but apparently you don't love him enough to mention him, Kenny.
Well, I was actually going to mention Martin next if you didn't let me get to my tenuous link. I was going to say listeners like Martin McKee and like Lars listens to us quite a lot. And there's numerous people who have recently decided to pledge to page. Michael Farrer, man of the women's revolution, all these people. And there's more. And I'm going to stop because I'm going to miss people out and they're going to get annoyed.
Ross Adams. Don't forget Ross Adams.
Ross Adams, who is...
Hayes? My God, there's so many.
Noah Courtney, ladies and gentlemen, who called himself a weirdo. Noah, you're our weirdo. But there's one weirdo who stands above the rest, and I want to mention her right now. We have a lot of female listeners here, which, you know, I'm happy about. It's a shame they're not in the kitchen, but they're listening to us, and that's what's important.
terrible. But...
We have a female host here. She gets to host the B show, but she's here. No, I'm kidding.
For fuck's sake, if any show is a B show.
She fucking hosts the A show. That's fucking heart attack to the B show here. But I want to give a shout out to a lady that I came across. I didn't come across her. I didn't
come across her.
And I only say it because she is a dirty bastard. And I introduce it that way. Her name is Tammy, but she goes by the name Lady Boobs.
Oh, yes, of course.
Now, I have met Tammy in person, and Tammy has a sense. To be fair to Tammy, Tammy has reformed herself. I met her at a WCPW event last summer, and she is what I affectionately nickname her as Tits McGee. And because she is basically Tits featuring Tammy. They are the prime. She wears them on show like they are greyhound horse racers. Like they are very much in your face. And she had messaged you because you had mentioned, you'd posted a picture on Twitter of you in some sort of Liberace fucking gear.
Yes.
Whatever the fuck.
Yes. It was a, let's not sell it short, Kenny. The picture that I posted on Twitter, at Zoopsoul, Zoopsoul.
Lovely of you to plug yourself.
Thank you. The picture was a women's one size fits all, little hoodie deal, right? Like a little slip on, right? full of sequins. I love sequins, Kenny. There's one thing that you need to know about me before we meet. It's that I love sequins. That way you can get me a present that has a whole lot of sequins on it, right? So I've lost enough weight now that I can fit into a women's one-size-fits-all, right? So
you are the modern-day Golden Girl.
I like to think that I'm a little like Blanche, thank you.
You're Dorothy, without question. And Sandra's Rose, but you know, that's just...
Absolutely. So anyway, here's your setup for your punchline. I just needed to correct you about the sequence.
But you had made us you had said a sentence on Twitter that Tammy has campaigned for me to say on air in my accent.
Yes, you have to. The listeners demand these things, Kenny.
So I want you to say it first, just so people know what it's supposed to sound like in the generic American accent.
Sequined cock sock.
So, something that I have never owned, but David has several.
I have them in numerous colors. My favorite is the rainbow one. Because, I love sequins. B, anytime you can fit more than one color of sequin on one thing, I love it. It's great. And the rainbow one, there's like seven different colors.
You're such a fucking panderer. Anyway, I'm going to say it one time just for you, Tammy. Nobody gives a shit. People are just like, this is supposed to be a Raw podcast. What the fuck are you doing? Sequined sock. No, I can't even do it. Sequined cock sock. I'll do it three times fast. Sequined cock sock. Sequined cock sock. Sequined cock sock. We're done. We've moved on. But if you want more of this shite chat, patreon.com/insidetheropes is where you can go to get more Inside the Ropes content. We actually talk about wrestling on there. We do interviews, podcasts, different things, retro pay-per-view reviews. Over 300 of you there already. We really appreciate it. It means a lot to us that you subscribe and help us out, and we are continuing to grow with it. So please head over and give anything you can if you want to support the show. Also, Goldberg and Wade Barrett are both coming to the UK. I think they would probably rescind their acceptance of an invitation if they heard this podcast. However, Goldberg will win the Universal Championship, and then he will come to the UK with Inside the Ropes and question why he did. But you can get tickets for that insidetheropes.co.uk. Very limited VIP tickets left for Goldberg. Very limited VIP tickets left for Wade Barrett. But you can get your tickets over there. But before we talk about Raw, David, I want to ask you very quickly about your weekend. You apparently, on Monday morning, well, not your weekend, your weekend finished, and then on Monday you had an issue that happened to you, that people who follow you on Twitter at Zupso would know. You were a victim of credit card fraud. So I think the question is not why, because, you know, you are despicable, so it's not very...
No, it's kind of in terms of karma, I definitely deserved it.
But what? Here's the crucial question. What did they buy?
Oh, boy. Kenny, is there any way that I could sell you on some German cosmetics? Because I have $7,500 worth of German cosmetics on my credit card. So if you would like to have some, by all means, I'll give you a free sample. But, I mean, I'm going to have to pay that back somehow. And I think the best way is to sell you at least 75% of my German cosmetics. Like, whenever I hear German cosmetics, I just think of, like, really gross porn. That's because, Kenny, you of all people, I already know,
watched some sick pornography.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say,
I once watched a man and a woman have sex. How horrible is that? You know,
see, what he's not telling you, everybody, is that it was at the MMW show and that they were both midgets.
To be fair, I think what you actually need to... Here's the thing, ladies. I feel really bad for David that he obviously had fraud committed to him.
Yes, it was terrible. I think the underlying thing, too, is that not only did they charge all of those heinous false charges for the German cosmetics... But they also bought a lot of pornography subscriptions that I definitely didn't do myself.
Well, here's the thing. I've actually found out who did it. I found out who committed this crime, and there's a reason.
Here's the thing. You have a lot of inside connections with wrestling. How did you have inside connections in terms of security?
Well, here's the thing. You were talking about, you know, you've been wronged and somebody's done credit card fraud to you. And I thought, well, it's got to relate back to MMW. It has to. All signs point to that.
There's just too many coincidences.
I managed to hack into your emails because, you know, Russia. And
right, yeah, you can do that now.
And, you know, me and Vladimir, big puts, we're big pals. And, I hacked in and I found out the guy that you screwed over the most in MMW. You put him in barbed wire matches. You shortchanged him in money.
So short on the change.
So he feels really bad about it, but it was the work of Short Sleeve Samson. Short Sleeve Samson was the man who screwed you. And you might know Short Sleeve Samson from such various entities as Micro Championship Wrestling, when Hulk Hogan decided to do a midget wrestling promotion to follow on from David. He was in TNA when he appeared at the Bound for Glory pay-per-view in 2006, competing in Kevin Nash's X Division Invitational. But he was most famously known in Midget Mud Wrestling when David took advantage of him. And I think that, you know, Short Sleeve is apologetic about what he did, but I think that what you need to do to close this chapter of your life, David, is publicly on this podcast apologize to Short Sleeve Samson for what you did to him back in those days, and just explain what exactly you did do to him, because you need to be held accountable for your actions.
Here's the thing. I don't think he's that sorry, Kenny. If he were that sorry, he would have came to me and confessed this and apologized. The only reason that he said anything to you is that you did the hacking bullshit and caught him red-handed in his little tiny red hands, Kenny.
That's offensive that you say it's tiny red hands. I mean,
he has small hands for a
he's
midget,
a midget,
Kenny.
Of course he has small hands.
No, he has smaller hands. But here's the issue.
What do you expect, a claw? He's a midget.
Here's the thing, guys. Maybe I did do him wrong. Okay, maybe I did. Right.
But he was destitute for 3 months.
Here's the issue that I have with it, though. A, I didn't even know him by that name, okay? Short Sleeve Samson. I booked him as Short Sleeve Simpson, okay, Kenny?
Right.
So whenever you're talking about this, I'm thinking, who? And then I had to do some Googling, and then I saw his face, and I said, oh, him, okay, yeah, that guy, yeah, I do remember him. Here's the issue that he has with me, right? All right, so I went to the prop store, or, you know, as we call it, the nature center, you know, where you go and the hunters find all of their gear, and, you know, I got the landmines and the tear gas, you know, those are always fun. Whenever we would run MMW, right, we would have, it was sort of like the, you know, the fast food restaurant, right? The kids eat free on Thursdays or whatever. We would do that. The kids would get in for free, right? But the only way that they could get in is if they were shorter than the midgets, right? So we would have the...
I do not condone this.
We would have the midgets lined up, and then, you know, if the shortest one, if the kids were smaller, they would get in free. And one of the... So one of the contingencies with that was they would get in for free, but we would also give out props, right?
Of course.
So we would give these kids the tear gas canisters, right?
Sick.
And so the kids, you know, they would have free range, you know, and we found a few baseball pitchers out of that group because they were just so accurate with breaking the noses of these midgets with these tear gas canisters, you know? They would just chuck them and boom! Right there, the blood would just go everywhere. You know, bloody noses, the whole nine yards, right? But I think the main thing, and you know, we used to hide the landmines under the mud pits. That's cool, you know, but at the same time, we're always innovating, Kenny. We're always innovating. But, you know, how Tommy Dreamer was the innovator of violence. we were the innovator of midget violence, right? I mean, that was kind of our, that was our gimmick, right? So I thought, I was at the Nature Center, you know, a.k.a. Military Depot, whatever you want to call it, you know, and I was seeing the flamethrowers, and I thought that would be fun, but flamethrowers are heavy, and they don't necessarily make them in midget sizes. You know what I'm saying, Kenny? The flamethrowers.
So that's a problem. It's a problem.
One size fits all on the, on the flamethrower backpacks, you know what I'm saying? So right. so that was an issue, and also they're pretty expensive. So I went to the guy and I said, hey, look, I want to watch a bunch of shits kill each other tonight.
What's this is the longest apology in recorded history.
What is the cheapest thing that I could do that would bring in the crowds?
Stop abusing midgets?
Like that's going to bring in the crowds, Kenny. Get real, okay? You're a promoter, all right, Kenny? You should know these things by now. Come on now. So he recommended the bear trap. Okay? All right? If you don't know what a bear trap is, it is a gigantic claw that whenever you apply pressure into the center of it, it swoops up and grasps you with these blades of steel that just cut right through your ankle. And I thought that was a good idea. My bad. Right? Okay. I'm sorry, everybody. I'm sorry I offended so many people, including the guy who ended up hacking my identity. Whoops, my bad. I'm sorry you lost your foot in MMW. All I'm saying is a lot of other people lost a lot more valuable things than a foot to a bear trap. Okay?
I think there's two things we've learned through this monstrosity of a conversation, which is number one, David should never promote midget wrestling again. And number two, short sleeve Samson, I apologize. I apologize on his behalf. For his atrocity. Now, can I tell you the one thing that happened to me at the weekend? I'm on a more serious note. A legitimate issue.
Sure.
That happened to me.
Well,
before
yeah,
we
sure.
get to Raw. Before we get to
yeah,
Raw.
Like my identity theft wasn't a major issue. But yeah, go on, sure.
You know, I went to the Isle of Mull at the weekend for a vacation, a short holiday, and it was very nice, and, you know, you get on the ferry, they do a mac and cheese, it was tremendous, and then we get to the island, we go out to this bar, and it's like the off season, so there's not that many people there. And I go to the bar. Now, just to tell you what I was wearing, just for the conversation, I'm wearing a white t-shirt that has a mugshot of Elvis on it, and jeans, and I have my hair slicked back, and I've got a little bit of a stubble. So I'm at the bar, and I'm ordering a couple of drinks, and this small woman, not a midget, but taller, she basically just runs in front of my face and goes, hello, and I was like, hi, how are you? And she said, oh, are you local? And I said, no, I'm from Glasgow. And she said, oh, I'm from Latvia. Cool. Good for you. Yeah. And she was like, I came here 11 years ago and I was going to work on a cruise ship, but unfortunately, my English wasn't good enough, so I had to come here and blah, blah, blah. Cool. So I go to walk away from this perfectly pleasant conversation that I've had with this Latvian cunt, right? And you understand why I've been so angry at her. So I go to walk away and she says, you know, I was just talking to my colleague and I had to come over and say hi to you because you look like you. And I'm thinking she's going to say a little bit someday famous, isn't she? She's going to, you know, compliment me or whatever. And she says, you know, I was telling my colleague that you you looked like you looked like such a dick. And I sorry, what? Oh, you know, you look a bit like a dick. And I was like, okay. And then she goes, and then she realizes that that's maybe not why you stop someone to say hello. And she goes, oh, no. I don't mean that in a bad way. So you mean dick in its most positive sense, is what you're saying.
Maybe she meant literal, like you.
And then she said, but then she says, because it's okay. She's got an explanation. It's cool. She says, oh, I don't mean anything bad. It's just that, you know, you just that, you know, what you're wearing, you just look like one of the snobbish persons. So I'm standing here with a vodka in hand, being made to feel like I am an outsider in my own country by a Latvian. So what I say is, Mr. Trump, I am on your side. Get the Latvians out of Scotland. Get the Muslims out of Muslimite. Go for it. Just do it. We need to make Scotland great again.
So here's the thing, though, Kenny. Here's the thing. I'm
genuinely not. That was an exact quote. What happened? I didn't obviously tell that I was a Trump supporter and I wanted to do that. But she genuinely walked up to me, said I looked like a dick, and that she was sorry. I just looked like a snobbish person. What the fuck do you say to somebody like that?
Here's the thing, Kenny. I have been told. I am not joking. I have been told that I look like a child molester.
You do a little bit.
That's good. Fucking Uncle Touchy over here. I have been told that I look like the father to my wife. This little Asian lady. And I was 21 whenever this little Asian lady came up to me. And said, oh, is this your daughter? And then pointed to my wife, who looks nothing like me, by the way. I would never fuck anything that looked like me because I'm hideous.
Right? Oh, don't silly. You've got charm.
Oh, yes. You get me in a room and boy, oh boy, the panties drop, folks. They go, listen to how charming
sadly is. That's yours that drop, but you know, that's...
Oh, please, like I wear panties.
Anyway,
so Monday Night Raw was so live.
Before we get to Raw, very quick. Fuck, what is this? I feel like we've lost you, folks. I feel like we've maybe lost you, and I apologize.
It's finally done. Next week you're going to tune into Raw, the Raw Rundown, and it's just going to be, so Monday Night Raw was live from Chicago this week.
Yeah. You're like, what happened to the bands?
Complete overhaul on the programming.
The following announcement has been paid for, but I did want to ask you very quickly, on a serious note, the big news has been that the Hardys have left TNA. You can go to youtube.com/insidetheropes and see an exclusive clip of Matt Hardy in late November talking about, would he ever go to WWE? He's going. And would he remain broken if he goes there? Go and watch that clip. It's very interesting. But what was your take on the whole him leaving TNA, possibly going back to WWE with Jeff? It's the hot topic right now. What do you think?
This is the dumbest thing that TNA's ever done. I'm just throwing it out there. Out of all the dumb decisions that they've
over their reverse battle royal?
Oh my god. Here's the thing. It's really hard to pinpoint the dumbest thing. This is it, though. This is it. Because Matt Hardy literally single-handedly, he himself alone changed the course of TNA and made them profitable and sustainable. Well, I wouldn't say profitable, but he did his damn near best to turn that ship around. And they spat in his face and told him, well, go to WWE then. That's some horse shit right there, Kenny. I don't know how you feel about it, but... Matt did a lot for that company, and he put eyes on that product in the past year that would have never even thought about looking in TNA's general direction. And this is how they repay him? Utter nonsensical.
We should explain why it's happened. The problem is when Matt was over in the UK for the tour in November, and I honestly, one of the best guys I've ever worked with, real pro. By the way,
just as a side note, that's my favorite thing that Kenny does whenever, because he's an insider now. So occasionally he'll just text me and he'll be like, JR's just the coolest motherfucker on the planet.
Hang on, wait a minute. I'm gonna, as we're on air, I can't say this on air. I genuinely can't say it on air. But I'm gonna message you something that I know, right, that I found out today.
Sure. I do love insider things.
To prove that I am not bullshitting, but here is something I found out today.
Sure. Oh my goodness. Wow. I can say unequivocally, without spoiling anything, a long time coming, I would say.
And it's news that's going to come out in the next couple of days. But the point is, anyway, like, so when Matt was over in the UK, he really had a... Can you hold on 2 minutes? My food's arrived. Hold
yes,
on.
Yes.
Hello? Hello?
Yes. Hello?
Yep. Mm. Cool, give me 2 minutes and I'll come down.
Sure.
Can you give me 2 minutes, David? I'm going to run, get my
sure.
food, and then come back up.
Sure, right. I was having a fun conversation with myself there, but...
give me literally 2 minutes, I'll stick on the line, I'll be right back.
Sure. Go get your food, Kenny McIntosh. I wonder what that no-good fat motherfucker's eating now. Bet it's fried chicken, you guys. I bet it's fucking fried orange chicken with fried rice. Something delicious, something delectable. Maybe some Shanghai chicken wings. That no-good slimy cocksucker. I swear to fucking God. I get to put up with this bullshit. He knows I can't eat that pizza that he's about to eat. You know it's a pizza. You know it's a pizza. All he does is talk about ordering pizzas. I bet it's from fucking Papa John's or some other abysmal shit house of a pizza joint. It wouldn't even be something good and local. No, Let me find the shittiest chain that I can find to deliver pizza at 10:30 at night. 10:30 at night! Motherfucker's going to shovel the pizza down his stupid gullet. Ugh. You know, his metabolism's just going to go crashing, you guys. It is. He's an old man now. He's over 30. It's all going to come crashing down on him. Just alone, with his diet habits of eating pizzas, 4 pizza boxes that he takes out once a week whenever he throws the trash in the bin, right? His neighbors just look at him and go, oh, fuck, Kenny's letting himself go, mate. Fuck. All those lonely pizza boxes. You know, there's not a slice that's left in there that he throws out. He just scarfs that down. They could have mold on it. He don't care. Sad, fat motherfucker. So hideous, too. Have you seen him lately? Just look at that body. It's in shambles. Too much pizza, mate. I'm telling you. Just letting himself go, you know. Sitting there. No exercise whatsoever, you know. Me, I work diligently on keeping my girlish figure, right? Right? So I can fit into more one-size-fits-all sequins, you know. I have to keep that up, you know. You know what I had for lunch today, you guys? I had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. That was like the healthiest, that was the least healthy thing that I've had in a year. And here he is. Oh, I need to go get my steak delivered. Is there a steak delivery place? Extra rare. I need the blood to shoot down straight into my arteries. Ugh. Ugh. Do you hear him bragging about that mac and cheese that he ate on that boat? Ought to be ashamed of himself, you guys. Just shoveling that in. He uses a spade now. You know that, right? Whenever he eats the mac and cheese, he doesn't even use a spoon. No, he needs a fucking shovel. Triple H style shovel. It's what he requires. Just makes no sense.
Hello.
Hey, pal. What'd you get?
Sorry about that. I got a chicken pasta thing with some chips. So
sounds good. I definitely, you don't got to cut anything out of this one. Don't worry. I kept everybody entertained while you were gone.
You want me to keep in the bit that...
Yes, yeah, the 4 minutes where you went down and got your food.
I'm not keeping in 4 minutes.
No. You can. Don't worry about it. It's perfectly fine. Don't worry, the director's cut, ITR. This is good.
Yeah, I'm going to regret it. And it's good because I don't need to edit it now, that's good. In all seriousness, when Matt was over here, like, he had such a passion for TNA and for Impact Wrestling, and he really wanted to be more involved, and I don't know the ins and outs of what happened, but all I do know is that, like, it would have taken a lot for him to not stay. And, you know, the problem was that when Anthem took over, they were in heavy negotiations with Matt and it was all going very well. And then Anthem hired Jeff Jarrett, and Jeff Jarrett had a different vision. And And that is what it is. And I think that, you know, Jeff Jarrett, when he was in charge of TNA, was its most profitable time in 2009. But, you know, Global Force Wrestling is not exactly a success story. And the fact that Drew Galloway and the Hardys are now gone is not another good sign for them. So,
no.
But I really, where do you think Matt and Jeff fit into WWE now?
I don't know if they do. Like, I think Jeff can come back and just slot himself back towards the main event, you know? Kind of like a lower card main event type of deal, probably like a little bit higher than where Rob Van Dam was whenever Van Dam came back. Like that. I don't know how the broken character fits into WWE, because they won't give him the creative freedom to do whatever
but
he wants.
That's the thing, you know, he says on the clip with us that, like, for him to come back, he would need to be broken and keep that character. Then comes the question of who owns the character. There's a lot of different questions, but it does bring me to something that I wanted to talk about and explain, because we're obviously going to be in Orlando together. We're sharing a villa together. Not just the two of us, there's like 10 of us, but like, it's going to be fun. And usually NXT is a big pivotal part of the weekend, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not going to spoil, because I know Sondra listens to this, I'm not going to spoil what the card is, but the card for TakeOver is quite underwhelming.
It is for
the Orlando show.
It is, from everything that I've heard. It's not that it's not the marquee event, you know.
And 45 minutes away, the Hardys face the Young Bucks in ROH, and it's the first time that I've been like I know we're probably gonna end up going to NXT because like
is that the ROH New Japan show?
No, it's just an ROH show. But I'm so tempted, so tempted. Which is a compliment to the Hardys and how great they are as characters, that I would want to, you know, because like ROH are running Lakeland, Florida, which is like an hour away from Orlando. So, the fact that that's there is, if you're going to go to Orlando this year for WrestleMania, I would encourage you, go to Ring of Honor. Go and see the Young Bucks versus the Hardys, because this may be the last time you ever get to see it. So I would recommend that if you are a fan of those characters and those teams, it's a dream match, and you should go see it.
The Young Bucks cut one of my favorite promos of the year thus far the other day. I definitely will. The gist of it though is, you know, it's like it's a promo with the Elite and the Bullet Club, and they toss it over. Kenny Omega tosses it over to Matt Jackson, and he's like, "I'm sorry, Japan, we have to go home and sell more T-shirts and pop more crowds and make love to our wives and have more children." And it's just it's just the best. I love it so much. The match is being dubbed "Too Sweet or Delete," by the way.
It's even worse now. let's talk about Raw though, because Raw was for me, and I'm a very positive person when it comes to Raw, I think it was a bit of a slog this week.
It was. It wasn't as bad as people made it out to be, I don't think.
No, I think there was some really good stuff on this show. And the key thing is, like, so you may know better than me, how often a year would you say, as an American, that Green Bay, Wisconsin get an episode of TV? Once a year, maybe three times? Is it that much?
Once probably.
Okay. If this show...
If that.
If this show took place in either the UK or St. Louis, I think the crowd would have gone nuts for some of the stuff on this show.
I would agree. And here's the thing, though. I don't want to put over St. Louis as the best crowd on the planet, but they usually pop whenever they're supposed to, at least.
Exactly. So I feel
they
like
it's... They would have chanted CM Punk at Seth Rollins while he's delivering an emotional speech. Fuck.
I know, fucking hell. So, yeah, it just was... I think the crowd really hurt the show. And I know some people, you know, we had tweets, you know, talking about the crowd and... I think it was, I'm going to try and find the exact tweets, but, some people were kind of saying, you know, the show was terrible, the product's terrible, and I don't think that's what it is, but I do want to say very quickly, I'm going to tag you in this tweet, David, but, Ollie Clark, who listens to the show, has decided to tweet a picture of a Papa John's pizza.
Oh, God.
I mean, I feel like he's trying to take the piss out of you, David, and I apologize on his behalf, because that's not acceptable. You are my friend, and you have to eat tofu, and that's just the way it is.
You know, Kenny, not that I was cutting a promo on you while you were going and getting your food. I don't do that. You're my good friend. But I did mention to our listeners at some point, definitely not then, that Papa John's is the world's shittiest pizza on the planet. And I mean, I would rather eat a bag of cardboard dicks than a Papa
John's.
Just
a regular Wednesday for you, my friend.
Well, I mean, to be fair, usually they're real. They're not cardboard.
Oh, for fuck's sake. But my point was going to be, I think that the part of the reason is the show's 3 hours long, and that is problematic. But I don't think I'm with you. I don't think the show was bad enough that it deserved the lack of reaction. Because here's the thing, as you would say. Here's the thing. When you have Raw come to your town or SmackDown come to your town, how you react to it affects the show for the TV audience.
It does.
And that can be a good thing or a bad thing. But here's my question. Where do Green Bay stack on the shit list? Are they in front or behind of Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh's still king. Pittsburgh is the king of shitty wrestling crowds, because at least Green Bay popped for Sami Zayn.
We will get to that. So let's go through the show. Obviously, there was some dross in this show, so we're not going to go through every single segment, but let's go through the top stuff. So show opens up with Goldberg coming out. He walks out in his street clothes. He talks about, you know, this Sunday's going to be as easy as 1, 2, 3. Jackhammer Spear, he's going to win the title. And then defend it against Brock Lesnar. He promises his wife and his son. Owens comes out, suit again, looking majestic. He talks about, you know, he made a promise to himself when he came to WWE that he was going to grab the company by the throat and make them see what he's all about. He's beaten John Cena, Dean Ambrose, AJ Styles, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns. He's not even going to bring up what he did to Chris Jericho, and he says that unlike Goldberg's cute catchphrase, he is next. And he said that this is the next in the evolution of Kevin Owens as Universal Champion. One of our listeners tweeted saying, he said evolution, which is a ridiculous link. But,
I enjoyed that.
And, you know, they had a back and forth, and in the end, you know, Owens kind of said that Goldberg chance will die on Sunday, and walked off as Goldberg sort of played to the crowd. What do you think of this opening segment in terms of setting up the Fastlane match with Goldberg and Kevin Owens for the Universal title, which will as Corey Graves was, as Corey Graves would say, easy for me to say, it's not like I have food waiting for me and can't wait to get to it. this match will have WrestleMania implications.
This was a fire segment. I liked it. I liked it. This was hot shit. Kevin Owens,
simple,
it's funny.
Simple. Straightforward and simple. It wasn't overly convoluted.
No, it wasn't. And Kevin Owens walking to the ring. Oh, you want to do this right now in Green Bay? Oh, Green Bay? No, they don't get to watch me wrestle. And you know what? He was right. They don't deserve to watch him wrestle.
Fucking Green Bay.
After this terrible crowd, no, why? They were shitty. They didn't deserve to see that. Me and my wife both looked at each other and simultaneously together said, man, I'm happy Kevin Owens is wearing a suit. So I mean, you know, if we've been together 17 years, but Jesus Christ, if we're finishing each other's sentences about a wrestling thing, you know the wrestling thing is good. So, yeah, Kevin Owens has really stepped it up here in the past few weeks, ever since the Jericho attack. He's really good. I still really want to see him lose because he is a bad guy, and that's what needs to happen to bad guys. So, I thought this entire segment was really good. Goldberg was also great here.
Yeah, I thought they set up really well. I'm going into this not knowing what's going to happen. I think that's the main thing that's good about it. You know, Goldberg could win, Kevin Owens could win. There could be interference from so many different people. It is an exciting prospect for Sunday. So I props to WWE for making me really care about a match for Fastlane.
Yeah. No, this is great.
Your boys, New Day, came out. They delivered a promo where they were about to face the Shining Stars when a production member handed them an envelope, and they did an Oscar gag. And then they ended up facing Jinder Mahal and Rusev, where they beat them, and Rusev decided that he was no longer going to be friends with Jinder, who I believe is fully tested for steroids every single week and always passes.
Man.
Is it hard for you to say that the Oscar gag didn't hit?
No. I was trying to figure out a way to gracefully say that. Man, oh man, did it bomb!
Although, to be fair, the best
Nicolas Cage movie in theaters right now in 2017.
The best part is when Big E said, "We're going to take the shine off the shining stars." I didn't write that. Excellent. Big E burying the material as.
Great. That's just so wonderful. Martin McKee said that he enjoyed it, and for that reason, I'm happy that he got some enjoyment out of it. So,
yeah,
this whole thing was really bad, but
Oscar that I didn't even get it initially. It took me a minute to be like, "What the fuck?" Oh, okay.
Kenny, also, I have a prediction for WrestleMania.
Sure.
I think that Rusev wins the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
I'm not ready to think about that right now because that's too emotional for me. I would cry with happiness. So, but I would love it if Rusev was to win. Well, I have a different theory because we saw a Big Show squash match in this show, and I think Big Show is going to be in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, and I think the story is going to be him and Braun as the final two.
But I think Braun, with how good he's been and continued to be on this show, I think he deserves something bigger.
He does. He absolutely does. I do also want to note that if you watched the Oscars on Sunday and you in any way thought it was a dusty finish, you are my favorite type of wrestling fan. Because that's immediately the thing that I thought of. And Cody Rhodes tweeted, "I think I know who booked that," which made my heart melt. Because any mention of Dusty Rhodes by Cody is very, very nice. We then got some stuff with Sheamus and Cesaro. Samoa Joe turned up. We ended up with a match with Cesaro and Joe later on, which we'll talk about. And then we got a segment that everybody's talking about, David, so I want to get your take on it. Stephanie McMahon has a segment with Mick Foley where she apologizes that he is not the Mick Foley he used to be. This Triple H ended his career 17 years ago. She wasn't apologizing for that. She was saying Hunter gets stronger every year, but he gets weaker. But she is apologizing that he can't even measure up to his own expectations, and he's getting even more pathetic. It feels like they are leading to something with Stephanie and Mick Foley. You are one of the biggest Mick Foley fans I know. I know he follows you on Twitter, and he helped you propose to your wife. How did you feel about this segment?
It's not even like burying Mick, you know, because it's all story, you know, whatever. That's fine. But everything, I don't think anything that she says has meaning. That's my ultimate thing. In order for a heel to have sway, and for their words to have gravity, and for them to make an impact and leave a long lasting impression, one way or the other, they eventually have to get their comeuppance. And she never once gets her comeuppance. Right? Like, in the past decade, she's been accidentally speared by Roman Reigns once. And that really wasn't her comeuppance. You know?
So I feel like we should lump in at the same time here because it's kind of relevant to the conversation. Later on, she comes in and interrupts Bayley and Sasha and gives Sasha a match with Nia Jax at the pay-per-view. That seems to be the segment that more people are angry with. What segment did you feel was there one that was a lot less effective, or were they both as bad as each other?
This one was more ineffective, I think, just because, you know, what's Mick Foley going to do? The guy who donates to Rain every 5 minutes is going to go and knock her out? Like, where's his comeuppance? Where's his vengeance for this? Oh, he doesn't have any? Oh, well, fart noise, you know? Who cares, right? Like, if there's no payoff in the end, I'm not going to pay attention to it. As to where Sasha Banks could feasibly knock the shit out of Stephanie McMahon. That would be fun. That would be cool. I think she's a better fit for pummeling Stephanie than Bayley would be.
You know, it's interesting. The Mick Foley thing, I'm torn on. I'm really torn because part of me enjoys that there's now a story for Mick Foley and that it's going somewhere, but I found this segment very difficult to watch because I just felt like I really want to see her get some comeuppance. And the thing that's so frustrating about Stephanie is she is a great heel in a lot of ways. You know, she is really good at being unlikable. She is really good at being villainous. But the lack of comeuppance really hurts her as a character and the product. And, you know, like, the best case scenario I can come up with is maybe, like, Stephanie's in Triple H's corner at WrestleMania, Mick and Seth, and maybe, like, Foley can socko Stephanie or something. Like, that's about the best I can hope from it. But it just I just hope they have a good end game for it, because Mick Foley deserves better than having to be Stephanie McMahon's bitch.
Yeah, yeah. This is just, I just wish there was something definitive for us to look forward to with the Stephanie McMahon character. Jim Cornette would come out there and he would run his mouth and this and that with the Midnight Express, but eventually he'd get his ass handed to him and absolutely pummeled, and he would show up all bruised and battered the next week, and he would show the effects of what happened to him.
As well, here's even a better example would be Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
You know, because Vince always got his comeuppance in the end. And you know, I think the problem a lot of people have as well is that it seems like the only time she's going to take the comeuppance is when Ronda Rousey returns. You know,
And then it's all like, oh wow, Stephanie gets to be the person to work with Ronda Rousey.
Yeah. I get that people hate the Stephanie character, and not in the way they're supposed to, because it's not like it's effective heat in the sense that she never gets comeuppance. Yes. The thing that frustrates me more is that she's so good at being a heel in so many ways that, like, nobody would give a fuck if she got beat in a wrestling match. She would not be any less over as a heel. And I just wish that she was either the writers who book her or her. I don't know if it's her or the writers or Hunter or whoever it is, but I wish they were more secure about her, because she's really good at the role. And if she was just able to work with someone and put them over, it would be so much better. And that's just my hope that that happens one day. I know I'm probably blind faith, but we did get Akira Tozawa beating Noam Dar in a match, and then Kendrick ended up beating him up in lesson number 3. But we did get Charlotte coming out and having a promo with Bayley and Sasha, where, you know, Charlotte had this great line where she said that, you know, Bayley's destined to be a one-hit wonder like Brett Favre or the cast of Twilight or whatever. And then Bayley came out and Sasha ended up coming out. It ended up turning into a tag match with Bayley and Sasha against Nia Jax and Charlotte. Nia Jax got the win with the massive Yokozuna-esque leg drop on Bayley. What did you think of this segment in the follow-up from last week and the tag match that I assume is the beginnings of the setup of a four-way for WrestleMania?
I thought that Charlotte, as always, was the highlight here. My wife actually, before I even got to say anything about it, she goes, "Don't you love how anytime someone tries to start a what chant at Charlotte, it just doesn't even affect her, and she just keeps rolling with the punches, and eventually they just give up?" It's just so good. She's just such a pro, and she's just so wonderful. I really love the finish, too. Nia Jax with the leg drop. That leg drop is awesome. She needs to keep that as the finish. I think that's the best.
I feel like she murdered Bayley. Yeah, I feel like Bayley had been murdered in cold blood.
No, exactly.
I think that the problem right now is that Charlotte is such an amazing heel, and the Bayley character is still finding her feet. That's maybe where the disconnect's coming a little bit. But I think that if these four are in the ring at WrestleMania, I'm confident they could do something really good. We had Enzo accompanying Big Cass for a match with Luke Gallows. In the end, Cass got the win in very quick time. Enzo Amore, any comments?
You're just about over it, aren't you?
I hate him. I just think he's, like, is it just me that he's so fucking unlikable? Like,
well, I mean, that's the time. I feel like if I met him in person and he was that character, I would just fucking, I couldn't be in the same room with him, right? But I always felt the same way about, like, Road Dogg and all these other wrestlers that I liked. So I don't know what that says about me.
An internal struggle with model taste. It's this weird thing where, like, I keep hoping every week Enzo's going to do something to win me back over. Not that it's about me. I mean, you know, he's very over with the crowd, and so is Cass. I also have that fear that Cass is going to be put into a singles role, which fills me with dread. Sheamus did beat Titus O'Neil in 19 seconds.
Like, why? Like, the whole segment, too, with him, like, backstage and catering and everything. Why? Why does this take up our airtime?
It was difficult. But, I mean, it was fine. It was 19 seconds. Who gives a fuck? But, at least...
Here's the thing, though. It's, like, the entrances and everything... That's time that they cut out of Cesaro and Joe.
True, I guess we put all that. We did, however, get Cody Graves in the ring, and Seth Rollins came out, talked about the MCL tear being more significant than he thought. Rehab is what it is. And then in the end, as Rollins is kind of saying, you know, he's kind of second-guessing himself a little bit, I guess. And then he was asked if he's going to miss WrestleMania. He said it doesn't look great. Triple H's music hits, he comes down, big smile on his face, and he, you know, kind of mocks Seth, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I mean, I don't know if this was just me, but Joe was outside the ring.
Yeah,
on the other side.
That happened.
Where the fuck did he come from?
Yeah.
And, you know, Joe's on one side of the apron, Hunter's on the other, and Hunter's saying, you know, if you know what's good for you, you won't be at WrestleMania. You know, I made you. And he basically said that, you know, this would be the last thing that he ever did. If he shows up at WrestleMania. And then as he goes to leave, Rollins says, Hunter, I will be at WrestleMania. And if it's the last thing I ever do, and I swear to you, it'll be the last thing you ever do. And Rollins drops the mic, stares at Triple H. Before we get to the segment and the kind of back and forth, there was obviously the CM Punk chant when Seth was kind of making his promo. What did you think about that? How much of that was the crowd's issue? How much of it was the booking? What did you think?
I don't think it's the booking at all. I thought that this was great, and if it were in Chicago or any other town, well, they may have chanted CM Punk in Chicago too, now that I think about it. If this were in Philadelphia or, you know, whatever, I think that it would have went over a lot better. And I thought that the booking was strong here. The writing was strong. Triple H did a better job this time of establishing himself as a heel as opposed to like a baby cutting a babyface promo. I think Seth's... They did a good job of turning Seth more of a babyface here by him. Because as we have chronicled over the Seth Rollins babyface push... The thing I disliked the most was out of nowhere he was a good guy, even though he had done bad things in the past and didn't seek to atone for them. As to where now he goes, maybe I deserve this after all I've done. And that immediately I was like, okay, that's a babyface promo. I like that. You're seeking redemption. You know?
Yeah, it's interesting because I think that in hindsight, the Seth Rollins injuries actually really helped him as a character.
Yeah.
Because, you know, before we were all kind of lukewarm on it, and now we have the sympathy for him for, you know, he might legit miss a WrestleMania and he's fought so hard and blah, blah. I think that while the crowd should absolutely be held accountable for the CM Punk chant, I think the problem is that the segment itself, while I thought it was really good, you know, you were asking the crowd to stay quiet for a lot of long pauses and, you know, very kind of long periods of time, and I think that's partially why the crowd ended up just, you know, chanting out of nowhere. But some people are saying, you know, because The Rock had done the CM Punk thing last week, maybe that's why some people's minds a little bit more and that they're just, you know, chanting it. I think Seth handled it really well, you know, by not acknowledging it. That was the best way to go. There was
waiting
no point in bringing
it to die out. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I agree with you. I thought that Seth was really likable, and I felt empathy for him. I thought Triple H was on point here. I think in this segment, by the end, when Seth kind of said, I'll see you at WrestleMania, and it'll be the last thing you have to do. This is the most genuine I think Seth Rollins has ever felt as a character.
No, I completely, absolutely, 100% agree here. Like I said, he was actually seeking redemption, which is a big thing for this, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's what we've wanted all along from his character as a babyface, at least I have. And yeah. I don't think I'm alone in that either. I don't think that that's some anomaly that just popped into my mind. A lot of people want to see him ask for forgiveness from the crowd for breaking up the Shield, which everyone loved. So the fact that he's doing this, it's like, okay, well, maybe. I enjoyed the segment.
And I think that Triple H, when he came out, there was a big cheer for Triple H when he came out. Because it's one of those things of, like, when you bring someone back who's not on TV every week, they get a big cheer. It's like when Vince comes back, he's a big cheer every time.
Yeah.
But Hunter did a good job of getting the crowd to turn on him. And that's a big change from the Hunter last year, who was determined to make everybody love him over Roman Reigns. So I went into this not being fully sold or excited about Seth Rollins and Triple H, and I left this segment excited about the prospect of that match at WrestleMania. So they did their job for me as a fan.
Now, my question for you, Kenny, is that a singles match, or do you think that that gets put into a tag team?
I would like it to be a tag team, personally. I would like to see Joe and Triple H against Seth and a partner. Now, Triple H has been advertised for 3 live events, one in Buffalo, one in Toronto, one in White Plains, New York, and it's 6-man tags with Triple H, Joe, and Kevin Owens against Sami Zayn, Chris Jericho, and Finn Balor.
Oh.
So, Balor, apparently, according to Dave Meltzer, is due to be part of WrestleMania as well, which, fuck me, there's no room left. But, I would be
there
up for Balor
if it's a tag. If it's a tag match,
yeah, Balor Seth against Triple H and Joe. I think that'd be great. That would be really good fun. It depends. It's a big ask to have Seth be out and just recover in time for WrestleMania and do a 20-minute singles match with Triple H. The tag would maybe give him a little bit of an ease up on that. What about you? Would you prefer to see the tag or the single?
I think if he's too beat up, I think that it would work better as a tag match. I want to see a better match than just a match for the sake of having a match. Because keep in mind, these two can always have a singles match at SummerSlam for the real blow-off.
And also, for guys like Samoa Joe and Finn Balor or Sami Zayn, whoever would be involved if it was to be a tag match, I feel like that would, their stuff would automatically become more important as well, because it's part of the Triple H Seth match. So it would help.
Absolutely.
Other characters as well. Like I said, we did get Big Show beating Primo and Epico in a handicap match. For me, it's not a coincidence that Big Show was featured here in a squash. They're keeping him in our minds. Obviously, Shaquille O'Neal said in his podcast this past week that he doesn't think the match with Shaq and Big Show is going to happen. How do you feel about that maybe not coming to fruition?
I still think that... I'm on the fence with it, right? Because... Shaq's downplaying it, and Big Show is talking it up. He's talking bad about Shaq, and a lot of people have been tweeting us about that, going, oh, it's definitely on now. I think it's just Show jockeying for position here. Going, hey, this might be my last WrestleMania. I want to do something big and important on it. I don't want to be relegated to a crap spot, so you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I feel like I'm not hugely interested in seeing Shaquille O'Neal versus The Big Show. I wasn't interested in it in 2009. I'm not interested now. But I'm not the guy this is aimed at. If you're an American sports fan, he is a huge deal to American sports fans. But he feels more like yesterday's news than he does.
Yeah.
But then I'm with you because the part of me that doesn't give a shit about Shaquille O'Neal having a wrestling match, there's the part of me that really would like The Big Show to have another moment before he retires. But this year is and maybe it's just because we're in the moment, but like, I feel like this is almost one of the most stacked years of WrestleMania in recent memory. Like, it is insane how many people could be on this card. And I just don't know if a Big Show singles match out with Shaq is gonna cut it, you know? And
even be big enough for the main card itself as opposed to a pre-show thing.
Yeah, it's tough, and you know, and they've done Big Show Braun. Could they do it again? I guess so, but I think maybe the cachet of that's gone because it's been. I don't know how you revisit that and make it feel as big as it could be. Here's the thing for me. As much as I love the Big Show, I'm more concerned with Braun Strowman getting a good spot this year than Big Show.
Right.
Just because.
Well, hey, you got to strike while the iron's hot, Kenny.
Exactly, and you know, Big Show, he's main evented WrestleManias before. You know, he main evented WrestleMania 2000, the Fatal 4-Way. He had the big celebrity match with Floyd Mayweather. You know, he's had a lot of big stuff. So
the thing about it is, Kenny, is I'm going to make a sports analogy, so I apologize in advance to anyone who doesn't like sports.
Get your Google ready.
But the thing is whenever there is a World Series or whenever there's a Super Bowl or a World Cup or anything like that, any big sporting event, we never go, oh man, what's this 22-year-old kid going to do in this? No, no, no. We look to the oldest guy on the roster, and we always come up with the narrative, is this his last run? And I don't know. You know, we wanted, as fans of sport, because wrestling is a sport, as fans of sport, we want to see these guys that we love get one last shot, right? You know, whenever Peyton Manning was in the Super Bowl, and it was his last year, and he won the Super Bowl in his last season ever, and then he retired. We wanted to see that, because we wanted to see a legend go out with a big showing. And it happened. And this big show might have a big showing at WrestleMania, and that's what we would like to see. Now, I don't know how feasible that is, especially in a year where... I think it's not too controversial to say that the WWE has the best roster it has ever had in the history of the company right now. Would you say that's a fair statement?
Yeah, I think that's really fair. And I think that actually, you know, we've talked about this numerous times over the last kind of 9 months or 10 months. I think the brand split has really taken it up a level in terms of the big four, especially.
Yeah.
Those events feel bigger. And you know, Jim Ross said something that I kind of agree with. It's difficult, especially with the amount of guys I enjoy. It's like, it's great to get everyone on the card, but I almost feel WrestleMania should be, do you make the cut? To be on that main card. You can still put guys in a pre-show battle royal and give them a payday. You know, that's fine.
Yes,
but like,
to
be on that card, like WrestleMania is like it's the pinnacle of North American wrestling. And I feel like we need to think more in that sense now than, you know, well, how are we going to get these guys in the card? What are they in a hot storyline that deserves the attention, or are they not? You know, because to me, that's how I'm kind of coming around to it more as I try to find space for all the people I like in my head. But, you know, to back your point up, yeah, the roster now is so stacked. It's unreal.
The card, I believe, I am somewhat in the JR camp. I think that with the card, you have to either be in a program that's really hot, or you have to have proven all year round that you deserve to be on that card in some capacity. Like, I think Sami Zayn, even though he's not in the storyline that's that hot, I think he deserves to be on the card at WrestleMania. As to where Rusev, I love Rusev, but as of right now, I don't think he deserves to be on the card at WrestleMania, because he's been handed shit, and he's just continuing to go along with it. And there's certain times when you just have to go, hey, it's not your year. Next year could be, but this year it's not.
And sometimes you need to set a year, you know. Sometimes, like, I mean, the prime example that I would talk about when we talk about, I know we're going long here, folks, but I think it's a good discussion to have. Mark Henry is a guy who had said that he wanted to stick around because he wants to do WrestleMania in Dallas.
Yeah.
And I think he made the wrong move, personally.
He did, yeah. Yeah, no, he definitely did.
Because we. You get older and you become more irrelevant within the framework of the wrestling industry and match quality and all that sort of stuff. It becomes even harder to get on a WrestleMania card. So I think his reasoning, while it's idyllic in his head, in reality was like, Mark Henry was never going to get a singles match at WrestleMania 32. It was never bound to happen. And I think the Big Show's match was the Shaquille O'Neal thing. Because then it's like, well, you have to give it to him because it's Shaq and it's going to get them some mainstream attention and all that sort of stuff. Without that, I don't know what he gets. I love the Big Show. I would love to see him in something high profile before he goes. But I don't necessarily think that has to be WrestleMania. I know that's like what we all think about, but
no.
I would prefer if he was in something that really meant something, and WrestleMania is like, put it this way, it's like imagine if you have a birthday party, right? And you have a birthday party and you invite, you know, 10 friends who you are you really like and you really get on with. You can't really get around to having a really great talk with all of them at one time on that night because you're going around. It's a busy, busy thing. Whereas if it's like, you know, a Saturday night out and you invite two friends, you can have some really great in-depth conversations. And I don't know if this analogy is working, but I almost feel like your birthday party is the WrestleMania and other pay-per-views are like your Saturday nights out. And maybe that's more where the Big Show has a chance to shine in one last big scenario. Because back to the Mark Henry example, when he put on that salmon suit and turned on John Cena, I lost my fucking shit.
That was way bigger than any moment he could possibly have at WrestleMania. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So I don't know if that really answers people's opinions on where Big Show goes or whatever, but like, it's an interesting time to see where it goes, you know. We did get some cruiserweight stuff on this show, again, with Jack Gallagher and TJ Perkins teaming up against Neville and Tony Nese. Jack Gallagher and TJ Perkins got the win. Any comment about this?
No, not really. These matches always...
Just kind of there.
Yeah, something I did love, though, is whenever TJ Perkins went for the fist bump and Jack Gallagher just grabbed his hand and started shaking. Yeah.
I feel that one movement signified our friendship. I'm the fist pump guy, and you're the hand over it guy.
Yeah. Absolutely. And Austin Aries, just absolutely wonderful, right? Like, what a presence on commentary. I love him.
He did a video package for himself. Great.
He did. And
you like my package?
it's such a huge package. he's just so wonderful. And I hope that signifies that he is coming to the cruiserweights, because if he is, whoo boy, the cruiserweights finally have a main event player.
Yeah, he's, I can't wait for him to get involved.
That's the guy they've been waiting for. Neville is amazing and he's doing a phenomenal job. But that's the guy that you've been looking for with the huge personality. That's your Steve Austin. That's your Rock. I think that the cruiserweights are going to do great because of Austin Aries. That's my bold prediction.
He's going to change the game, I think, with the cruiserweights for sure. And you know, the cruiserweight division is getting better. Akira Tozawa is really hitting his stride, and Aries coming back, and Neville's doing great, and Jack Gallagher's doing well. They're starting to really build up some characters.
Absolutely. The fat is being taken away from the steak, so to speak.
For sure. Up next, we got a video package for Beth Phoenix induction into the WWE Hall of Fame. What did you make of Beth being added to this year's class?
It kind of bummed me out simply because I had been holding out hope that she would come back. I can't imagine that she's not in good shape at the moment. And she was always my favorite of the women's wrestlers during the Divas era. She's just absolutely great with that, you know. She's worthy of it, I think. Less so than some of the other women who have come to fruition, but the thing is you got to start inducting some of these women that came around in that era of wrestling, and her and Natty Neidhart are undoubtedly the two that come to mind from that era that are worthy of it.
It's funny because I've heard a few people say in the last couple of days, or last day or so, why is Beth Phoenix going in the Hall of Fame? And I get it. I get that it's a newer person, and when newer people goes in, there's a sudden urge to talk about, well, what about Molly Holly, or what about Leilani Kai, or what about, you know, Velvet McIntyre, China, all, and I get it. I do get it. But the Hall of Fame's never been about going in chronologically, because look how long it took Bruno Sammartino. And also, it is partially to do with just who Vince likes. You know, and that is part. But what I think with Beth Phoenix is that, here's why I think she deserves to go in. She was part of one of the worst eras of women's wrestling of all time. And she made that bearable in some ways, because apart from her, fuck me. You know, like, but she was involved in the first ever I Quit match in WWE, the first ever tables match for women. And I think that she did enough to be in there. My heart kind of breaks that she's not part of this era, because it just sad. I mean, what could have been?
It's tragic, is just, almost.
Yeah, and you know, Triple H put it best. And I know it's cliche and all that, but I think there is sentiment in it. Before there was queens and bosses and huggers and last kickers, there was the glamazon.
Yeah,
and I think she deserves it. And I don't often say it at Hall of Fames or with inductions, but one more match, please.
It would just be absolutely wonderful. Her and Charlotte, can you imagine that?
Oh God! And this year's Hall of Fame class, fuck me, is stacked. Kurt Angle, Diamond Dallas Page, Teddy Long, The Rock and Roll Express, and Beth Phoenix. So far,
it's looking good. Who do you think the celebrity will be?
Who is left as a big celebrity going? Maybe Floyd Mayweather, if they can get him to come along.
That would be a huge coup for them if they could get Floyd, I beat women, Mayweather.
Yeah, well, if you want to go with beating women, maybe Lawrence Taylor could go in. there's quite a few celebrities. I know that the deceased inductee that's kind of going around in people's minds is Rick Rude. I'd love to see that.
That would be phenomenal.
Massive Rick Rude fan here.
Absolutely. But, you sweat hogs out there.
Oh, he was great. I remember when I was younger, and I said to my mom, Rick Rude, it was when he had the curly hair and the mustache.
Yeah.
And
that's
I remember
how
turning
I
to
imagine Rick Rude, by the way.
That's prime Rick Rude. Yeah. I remember turning to my mum and going, Mum, why does he get all the women? Because he's pure ugly. And she was like, look at his abs, Kenneth. My mother was one of the Atlantic City sweat hogs, it seems, at some point in her life. Enough about my personal life. We talked earlier, but Stephanie interrupted Bayley and Sasha talking, so Sasha is going to face Nia Jax at the pay-per-view. But then we got Samoa Joe versus Cesaro on Raw. It didn't go too long, went about 8 minutes. Samoa Joe got the victory. There was an early moment in the match where Cesaro fell to the floor and held his knee, which would continue to be the part of the match. That was what he would sell the whole match, and Joe would work on it. And I know Martin McKee had said on Twitter that he is very, very okay with Samoa Joe using the Boss Man Slam, as am I.
Yeah, no, that's great.
Any you know, sort of nod to the Boss Man is all right in my book. I loved this match as like a teaser for what they could do together. I loved the story. I loved the idea that he was working on the knee. I loved Cesaro's valiant attempts to work back from it. This was just slice A great stuff for me.
How great was it to see a WWE match where people worked on one isolated body part and sold it correctly to the point that they couldn't get their shit in? That's something that drives me up a fucking wall, Kenny. Whenever someone goes out there and they're working on the shoulder, they're working on the neck, you know, or whatever, and then the guy fucking starts pulling an 18-wheeler, you know, so to speak, with his fucking neck muscles right afterwards. And it's just like, I don't believe this. You were just having your neck worked on, and now you're fucking lifting a guy up using only your neck. Like, that's not realistic. If your neck was hurt, you wouldn't be able to do that. And he took out Cesaro's knee, And Cesaro, the little offense Cesaro did get, and the stuff, his signature moves and everything, they were hampered. They were hampered, Kenny. He couldn't do them properly. Why? Because his fucking knee hurt. Oh, my God. It's not rocket science, you guys. If they work on a knee, it hurts the knee. If you can't do a move because your knee is hurt, don't fucking do it. So, huge thank you to Cesaro and Joe for working a realistic wrestling match. Jesus.
And you know what I loved about it as well is, like, everybody was, you know, sort of coming in their pants about Samoa Joe and Cesaro, and they didn't give you everything. They gave you a tease of what they could give you in a big time match. So post match,
because they told a story. That's why, and it was amazing.
It was great. Charlie spoke to Joe on stage. He talked about making a big impact. Came here to hurt people. Doesn't matter who you are. He's you know, here to take everybody out. And then Sami Zayn's music plays. Sami blindsides Joe. They have a brawl. Sami, you know, does his flip off the stage onto Joe. They're separated by referees, and you know, it was chaos. This was fantastic. Samoa Joe was finally sort of stood up to by Sami Zayn, and Sami Zayn showed some fire here. I'm really loving the booking of Sami Zayn week to week. It gets stronger and stronger for me. Really, I'm starting to get behind him more. And I thought this was a great way to set up their match for Sunday.
It's just so good, right?
Like, this is just written for you.
It is. It really is. It's Samoa Joe and my fave, Mr. Sami Zayn. Just, they both looked really good here too, because, you know, Joe, all of a sudden, you know that Sammy's gonna come out the same way that Joe did, right? And you know it's gonna happen, and you know it's gonna be amazing. And then it happens. He gets blindsided, taken out, a big brawl. Joe even gets a little bit of heat on him, and then boom, he just comes out of nowhere with his spots. I love it. I hope it's setting up for something. I don't know what. I'm hoping not the pre-show of Fastlane. That would just break my heart. But
oh, fuck off. The pre-show of... These guys are on the main show without question, because they announced it straight after the match as well. It's official for Fastlane, Joe versus Zayn. So.
Do you think this will carry over into Mania at all?
I really don't know. I cannot see Samoa Joe not being featured heavily in WrestleMania.
No, he will be. He will be.
Sammy's the one I think is more problematic.
Yeah, no, that's the one I'm worried about, is Sammy, because Joe will either get Sammy or Finn. So he'll be fine either way. But
I would hold Finn off till after Mania, but that's not what they're doing. They're bringing him back. So, but do you know what? I'm excited about the product right now. I'm excited to see where it goes, and hopefully there's something for Sammy to do at WrestleMania. The main event segment, we got Mick Foley coming out. Basically, Braun Strowman had said to Mick Foley, you know, he wants to make sure that Roman Reigns doesn't back out of the match. So he wants him to sign the contract in the ring. Braun Strowman basically agrees with Stephanie that he's a shell of his former self. Mick gets fired up and says, you know, he's had enough of being talked down to, and that you will respect him as a legend or else. They square up with each other. Really strong, I thought, from Foley here.
Yeah. No. This was very, very good from Foley.
And then we get Roman Reigns coming out, him and Strowman kind of brawl through the arena. Roman spears Strowman through the barricade, which was so effective that the crowd chanted Roman for the first time in a year.
Roman got the second biggest pop of the night, which proves that Green Bay, you just made the list. Shitty wrestling crowds.
But it was a great segment because, you know, Reigns speared him through the barricade, and then as Reigns is in the ring to sign the contract, Strowman's back up already. Reigns hits him again with Superman. I think that the Superman punch works the best on Braun Strowman. Like, of anyone he's ever hit with it, that's the one that I love the most, because Strowman just, you know, it takes so much to get him down. And in the end, Strowman leaves, and Reigns gets to his knees and signs the contract. I think that Braun Strowman here helped Roman Reigns become a more effective babyface than he ever has in as long as I can remember. Maybe since that, was it the Raw the night after TLC where he won the title? Did he not beat Triple H up at one point? Am I imagining this?
I can't recall.
T- TLC 2015, Reigns beat up Triple H, and then the next night, Superman punched Vince.
As my wife says, stupid man punched.
Stupid man punched. So I thought that it was a really strong segment. I enjoyed it. Did you enjoy this segment in sort of getting you ready for Strowman's match with Roman on Sunday?
Yeah, definitely. I love me some Braun Strowman. I'm all in on the Strowman train. Just his cadence and the things he says, they always make me laugh. I like him. I like him. He's a big, scary dude. I like him. I like him a whole lot. I think that this is... Oh, man. I kind of want him to push him to the moon. I think I'm ready for it.
He's the fact that he was able to make Roman look like a strong baby face... shows them, but you know, in my head I was going like, because I enjoyed the segment and I enjoyed the roles that both guys played. I do want to give Reigns some credit there. You know, I don't want to. He did play his role pretty well, but like my thing is like, please still turn him heel. Like please still do it at WrestleMania. Don't let this one shitty Green Bay crowd change your mind.
Right. So, I
guess we'll see where it goes. I think the Roman and Braun Strowman match at Fastlane looks pretty strong. I'm excited for it. I think the Fastlane card looks pretty good.
I'm all for it, man. I think it's going to be great.
So, you know, we've got Goldberg Owens to the title. We've got Roman and Braun. We've got Sammy and Joe, Bayley and Charlotte, Sasha and Nia, The Club and Enzo and Cass, Jack Gallagher and Neville. You know, there's tons of stuff going on at Fastlane, so it should be a fun show. Where would you rate this show out of 10 if you had to put a rating onto it?
I don't think it was nearly as bad as people made it out to be. I would give this a solid 6, but I think the issue is that there was a lot of cool stuff on here and a lot of noteworthy stuff, but compared to last week, it's just such a big drop-off, I think. And the bad crowd didn't help it. Shame on you guys, Green Bay.
Also, it's also tough when you start to make a lot of build for WrestleMania and you put a lot of things in play to then have a go-home show for a pay-per-view before that.
So yeah.
I think that stilted things a little bit as well.
Yeah.
I think the show... I'm going to go with you as well and give it a 6. Because I think it was above average. I don't think it was much above average. The good stuff was really good, and the kind of blah stuff was just really blah. That's my technical way of saying it.
If you hit the highlights, it's worth watching.
Yeah, if you didn't get a chance to see it, I would say that the Goldberg Owens segment, the Seth Triple H segment, and the Joe and Cesaro match, along with the main event segment, actually, with Braun and Roman, they're all worth checking out.
And Austin Aries' package. It was huge.
I mean, well, great package. David, where can people find you on the Twitter machine?
You can tell us all about your own booking ideas for matches that you would like to see in the MMW revival, you guys. I need gimmick matches. Come on now. These flaming barbed wire rope matches. We need help coming up with new ideas. I mean, fucking CZW's already thought of most of the shit, you know, but we need your ideas. You can send them at ZoopSoul on Twitter, at ZOOPSOUL. Kenny, the MMW was pretty great, wasn't it? I mean, the lawsuits weren't, but the action was.
Of all the midget wrestling promotions that I know of, it is absolutely in the top 10, without question. Without question. You can find me on Twitter, KennyMC1985. Please do get in touch. One of the things I love the most about Inside the Ropes is the community that we've built up. I think it's great. We have people from so many different walks of life. We have people who are African-American, Indian, gay, trans, all these different things. And I love that we can all come together and laugh and talk shit about wrestling. So do get in touch with us on Twitter if you want to talk to us about something. We are very good at getting back to people and interacting. Sandra and I will be back tomorrow, when she no doubt orgasms about SmackDown. And David and I will be doing a Patreon exclusive podcast next Monday on Fastlane, patreon.com/insidetheropes for that one. David, send people away with a nice message, please.
I think that the world would be a little bit nicer if the next time you're at a nice restaurant, or if you are in a fast food drive-through, or anything, if you're just picking up some takeaway or some carry-out, if you're in the United States, if you would buy the person in back of you or the person next to you at the table who looks a little lonely or a little down, ask the server, go, hey, how much is their bill? I would like to pay for that as well. Do something nice like that, a small gesture that will make that person's day a little bit brighter, because Lord knows we have enough negativity and bad vibes in the world. You yourself can change that, because generosity is addictive. It spreads like wildfire. That person would go out and do the same exact thing for someone else. I guarantee it. So go do something nice for someone, even if you don't know them.
There's a place in your heart, and I know that it is love. And a place much brighter than tomorrow. And if you really try, you'll find there's no need to cry. In this place, you feel there's no hurt or sorrow. There are ways to get there if you care enough for the living. Make a little space.